Okay, reading today is from 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 to 11, and reading from the NIV. Now, about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, and to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines.
Well, we're continuing to, of course, follow our sermon series on the Holy Spirit. And that's part of the vision of this church. Most of you will have been here or remember last year when we had a month of prayer seeking God's will and direction for our church. And out of that came our four areas that we seek God in, getting closer, getting back to basics, moving in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, seeing our young people and children flourish to truly be a family church, and then to go out with that good news that we are sharing. So that's part of our vision. And so part of that is the Holy Spirit, and that's where we are today. And I've been asked to look at the first section of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Am I on? I'm guessing I am. No, I'm not. I probably am. I am. I'm on. Well done. So we're looking at the gifts of the Holy Spirit then. And I wondered what does that mean to each one of us? What's the difference between the gifts and the fruits? We were looking at the fruits just recently of the Holy Spirit, weren't we? Well, I remember it this way. Help. Oh, there we are. I remember it this way. Quite simply, I was always told, excuse me, I can hear that. I was always told a good way to remember it is that fruits grow, but gifts are given. Fruits grow and gifts are given. Fruits are a natural thing, more than my voice is at the minute. Fruits is a natural thing. Nick mentioned it a couple of weeks ago. You know, you don't force an apple tree, it just grows apple. No one sees a tree out there, an apple tree, and starts putting apples on it. You know, there's a tree there, let's put some apples and maybe a pear or two and hang it there. No, it does it itself. Fruits are grown. It's a natural thing. The fruits of the Holy Spirit should grow within our life. Love, joy, peace, patience. Patience, did I really say that? Long-suffering, all those wonderful gifts, they just grow. They should be part of the Holy Spirit living in us. Now, many people will often say, how do I know the Holy Spirit is in me? How do I know I've got the Holy Spirit? Well, let me ask you a question. Hands up, all of you who have ever had a cold. The rest of you, I'll pray for a lying spirit. Right, okay, you can put it down. How do you know you had a cold? Did someone tell you? Do you have a prescription? Was it written in the newspaper? Did someone come? No, you just knew. You were blowing your nose, you were sneezing, your eyes were running, you were aching, all those things. You just knew you had a cold. You know you have the Holy Spirit. You feel him. It's there. There is no doubt. You cannot persuade me that the Holy Spirit is living in, not living in me. He is. I know. You know too. So fruits are things that grow. Gifts are given. You don't grow a gift. I don't wake up on my birthday and suddenly a gift has grown on me. I'm like, what's that? Oh, that's very nice. I'll have one of those. No, gifts are given. They're given by people who love you, who care for you, and want to remember your birthday on the 3rd of May. sorry, <don't, laughs> they want you to remember that they love you and they give you a gift. It's something given. You don't deserve it. You didn't earn it. You haven't desired it. It's just given to you. Now, some of those gifts are exactly what you wanted. If anyone gives me another pair of socks, I should be very grateful. You know, gifts are given. Some gifts are really what you always wanted. Some gifts you doubt. Some of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you think, yeah, I'd love to speak in tongues. Gift of healing, oh, I'm not sure about that. No, I don't really want that one. But the Holy Spirit, we've read, gifts as he desires, gifts as he determines, gifts as he knows he wants to use you. See, gifts aren't there, are they, just to look good? They're given because they have a use. Now, I've brought with me a paperweight. It's a very nice paperweight. It's got a lovely picture, a famous painting on it, and it's a very nice paperweight. And this paperweight sits on a table in our lounge, and it looks very nice. Occasionally I have to dust it or take it off and dust the table that it's on. It can be a bit of a nuisance at times, but it looks quite nice. Now, paperweights are made for one purpose, to hold down paper. This never holds down paper. It just sits there, causing dust, having to be removed occasionally. It looks very nice. I like the picture, but really it's pretty useless. It's not holding down any paper. You see, the gifts might seem very attractive, very wonderful, or it's great, but if we don't use the gift of the Holy Spirit that he's given us, we're wasting it. It's not doing its purpose. So what are these gifts? What is Paul talking about? What's all this about? Well, let's look into it, shall we? What is Paul talking about? Well, we all have a natural gift, don't we? Every one of us can have a natural gift, whatever it may be. I don't know if any of you ever saw the TV program, The Piano. And the idea was they put a piano in a railway station. Obvious. I put a piano in a railway station. People applied to play it, and they showed off how skilled they were at playing. And one of those people was a young girl, very disabled. She couldn't see her hand. She was a nonverbal in a terrible state. And you looked at her, and she sat down at this piano, and you thought, no way. But she played classical music as well as anyone else. They chose her as a star. You see, she had a gift. We all have natural gifts. There's something that all of us can do. I'll work mine out later, but we all do have natural gifts. There's something you're all good at, whatever that may be. My mother said to me once, she said, as you know, I'm adopted, and she said, when you came to me at the age of 4, you couldn't speak, and we had to teach you to speak. It's the biggest mistake I've ever made in my life. But it's become a natural gift. I can't stop it, you see. That's why I'm here this morning. The real reason I'm here is because I'm so busy on Sundays. Nick has worked out if he doesn't get me to preach or lead, I just don't come to church. But that's not true. There is a reason I don't come. I'm usually going elsewhere. But that's beside. But you see, gifts are there. They're to be used. Natural gifts. But here we're talking about spiritual gifts. And it's interesting where this passage is found, isn't it? It's found between two chapters, pretty obvious. You get chapter 11, and Paul is challenging the believers over their behavior at the Lord's Supper. It's a scripture we read when we come around communion. We did it last week. It's a famous scripture. And he's chastising people. So when you come, you don't behave right. You don't do it right. You have your own motive. You want it first. So he was challenging their behavior. And then in chapter 13, of course, it's that lovely chapter about love, that great love chapter. So in between that chastisement of getting it wrong and the fact that we're people who are to love, he says, but I give you gifts. I give you gifts to enable you, to take you out of that old way, to get rid of that, and to lead you on into love as you operate in unity in the Holy Spirit. Talking about gifts. And then he goes on in verse 7. He says this in verse 7. These gifts are for the common good. You see, God gives gifts for a common good. It's not just for you, and it's not so that we might get jealous or anything like that. Every gift of God is for our common use. It's for the use for all and for our community. The gifts are there to be used and to serve other people with, therefore the common good for everyone to be used, and we should do that. Excuse me. There's a lovely one, dear. There's a lovely story I heard about a boy one day. He was walking down the road and he had this older lady with him, and a friend came up and said, is that your grandma? And he said, yes. She said, is she coming to stay with you? He said, yes, yes. Oh, they said, where's she come from? He said, well, she lives at the airport, and when we want her, we go and bring her back. I just wonder if that's the Holy Spirit for some of us. Yes, he's there, and we go and get him when we want him. We ask him to speak when it's good, you know. The Holy Spirit is there all the time. His gifts are ever there, and they're there. And it says that they're there for the benefit of each one of us. I know Paul sometimes talks about the lion, the witch, and the wardrobe, so I've got to keep up with him. I'm going there as well. And there's a question that Lucy asks, and she asks this question. Sorry, Susan asks. She asks this question. How can we know that these gifts are safe and from God? How can we know that these things are safe? Is he safe, she asks. I feel rather nervous about meeting a lion. That you will, dearie, no mistake, says Mrs. Beaver. If there's anyone who can appear before Aslan without their knees knocking, they're either braver than most or else just silly. Then isn't he safe, says Lucy. Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe, but he's God, he's the king. Is moving in the gifts of the Holy Spirit safe? No, it's scary. But he's God. He's King. He's Lord. The gifts seem scary, but they're the safest thing in the whole world if we move in the Holy Spirit, if we stay close to God. Moving in the realms of the Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes people think that's a bit scary. It's the word Spirit, isn't it? But moving in the Holy Spirit is just a wonderful thing, isn't it? Are the gifts of the Holy Spirit safe? No, but they're powerful and effective. They are safe because they're his. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul seeks to put the church at Corinth at ease about these things. Look at what he says in verses 1 to 3. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or another, you were influenced and led astray by idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So he says, I don't want you to be uninformed. I don't want you to think it's scary. And there is a background, because if they're moving in the things of the Holy Spirit, they give God the glory. They won't say bad things. So Paul, in verse 1, wanted them to be informed. In verse 2, he reminds them of their background. And in verse 3, he puts them there at ease that God is moving by the power of the Holy Spirit. So what are these gifts? What are they about? Let's look at that, shall we, in 1 Corinthians 12. First of all, in verse 4, we will look at that one then. There we go. No, there. We'll stay there. It says in verse 4 that there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit that distributes them. Paul highlights 9 of these gifts in this chapter alone. There are many more, and Paul will continue about that next week. It says in verse 11 that it's the work of the same Spirit. The distinctions made. These are work of one and the same Spirit. He distributes them to each one as he will. And then he goes on in verse 5, and he says in verse 5, he goes on to say that there are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. Now look at that passage. You see, the gifts are there for the common good. They talk about unity. The gifts of the Holy Spirit aren't there to divide, they're there to unite. It's all about uniting the body of Christ and us with those who don't yet know him. And so we see this about unity. We all move together. Many years ago, I was in a prayer meeting, and I can't remember, but there were two of us involved in a prayer. Not intentionally, we were just quiet. And one of us prayed and said, I see a person, she's looking sad. And then the other one, between the two of us, I can't remember which way it went round, the other one said, yes, she's sitting on a suitcase. Then the other one says, I see her in an airport. The other one says, she's really worried. The other one says, there's an aeroplane. And that was it between the two of us. You see, it was united. We were seeing this together. If one hadn't worked, the other one couldn't work. How God unites us. Many, many months, in fact, I think it was a year or two later, we went to a talk by a missionary. And in this talk, the missionary, a lady, said there was a terrible time. She said, I was sitting at an airport. I was sad. I was sitting on suitcases because everything was going wrong and nothing was working. Then I saw the aeroplane. Does that ring any bells? God showed us what happened so we could pray for her. Now, were we the only ones praying? I'm sure we weren't. What I'm saying is that God unites us through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They kind of work that way. But it's not just us. Notice these verses I've just mentioned, the ones that are on the screen. In verse 4, it says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. Then in verse 5, there are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working in them all, and everyone, it's the same God at work. The Trinity right there, the Holy Trinity. The same Spirit, the same Lord, the word there, Kyrios, refers to Jesus, and the same God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit at work, united through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that wonderful? Well, I think it's great anyway. You know, you can think what you like. But there it is, a picture of the Trinity moving and the work of the Holy Spirit. So he goes on and we see these gifts portrayed before us, out there for us to see. Many gifts. And it's wonderful to see them at work. Another story I heard more recently actually, was about a little boy walking along the road with his mother and looking in the shop windows. And one of these shop windows had different displays. I think it was a 1940s weekend or something. And there are displays of all things from the 40s. And there right in the front of the window was a typewriter. Most of you know that I have a great interest in typewriters. And there was a typewriter in the middle of the window. And he looked at this typewriter and he said to his mum, Mum, what's that? She said, it's a typewriter. Well, what does it do? So she said, well, you type on it and it comes out. Wow. He said, that's amazing. Then he looked. He said, but where do you plug it in? She said, well, you don't plug it in. It doesn't need electricity. Oh, he said, amazing. Well, where do you put the batteries? Oh, she said, it doesn't need batteries. She said, you just type on it and it just works. It doesn't need electricity. It doesn't need batteries. Wow, he said, why didn't someone think of that before? And it's a bit like that when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, when you begin to move in the gifts. You think, wow, why didn't I have this earlier? Why didn't I get closer to God before? Why didn't I desire this much longer ago? It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? So the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now we all have different gifts. Nick and Paul have the gift that they have, a pastoring and leading, and they use the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But the word here is that it's for service. It talks about aiding, servicing. So when we minister in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we are serving one another. We are giving out an aid, something that is needed to help others. It's the same Lord, the same Spirit, the same God. And we see this wonderfully portrayed in the work of the Trinity right before us. So what are these gifts? Well, let's look at them quickly. Here are all these gifts before us. Let's look at them, shall we? Or not. Maybe we'll just imagine. There we go. First of all, we have the gift of wisdom. Now, of course, we mustn't get too confused about all this because some people are just naturally wise. Of course, we know Solomon asked for the gift of wisdom, and he had wisdom beyond natural expectation. That's the difference. Some people are just naturally wise. They're very wise people. They come up with good ideas. But wisdom as a gift of the Holy Spirit goes beyond that. He gives wisdom that no one else can know when you're talking to people, and just wisdom comes from that person you can't imagine. It's not being naturally wise, it's more than that. Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 8, a famous passage says this: "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil, and this will bring health to your body." It's not being wise in my own eyes. It's going beyond my own wisdom. You may have done this when you've been ministering, speaking to someone, and words of wisdom that you would never have heard before come from your mouth. Then we have the word of knowledge. It's a wonderful gift, knowing something that you wouldn't know naturally. Many years ago, when we were seeking God for our next move, we were in a congregation just listening to the church we were based at the time. We had a guest speaker from Canada. So we didn't know him, he didn't know us, and he just preached. But what he didn't know is every word he was preaching was for us. Why the others were sitting there, I don't know. It's a waste of their time. It was for us. Now, he didn't know us. He knew nothing about us. But everything he spoke was what had led up to this decision to move on. Everything about it. He didn't know that. But the gift of knowledge was given to him that he might know it. And it was given to us. Then we have the gift of faith. Faith as a gift. Now, we all have a measure of faith. The Bible says in Ephesians, it is by grace you have been saved through faith. So the fact that you're a Christian means you have faith. Otherwise, you couldn't get saved. It's not from knowledge, it's from faith. I trust God to save me, that he's my Lord and Savior, and one day I shall be with him in glory. That's wonderful. It is by grace you have been saved through faith. However, the gift of faith goes much deeper than that. People who step out as whatever way they want without any knowledge, stepping out, people serving God, not knowing how he's going to provide the need, how he's going to give them the finance they need, why they're there, what they're doing, or anything at all. People who just go out in the middle of nowhere throughout the world, just believing that God will do something because God has given that deep faith, that gift of faith. When perhaps you pray for someone, you just have that faith beyond natural desire that God will meet that person's need. And you can say to that person, because that faith is in your heart, go and do that because God is going to do it. You've got to be careful. And of course, the Bible tells us to test the spirits, not just to take it for granted, not to trust the person, but to trust the Holy Spirit through faith. Gifts of healing, of course, that's the one we all love, isn't it? When we're not well, we all know my testimony, that's still working, praise the Lord. But gifts of healing. And some people pray, we all pray for people to get well, don't we? We've got some nasty people here, they don't care. I don't know, what we're going to do with them? We all pray, Lord, make them better. But sometimes people just get that gift of healing. Many years ago, I was preaching away, and just before I went away, I knocked my leg or something. It was very, very painful, causing me to walk with a limp. And there was a child there at the home I was staying. He was, what, about 5? He had some learning difficulties, not severe, but some learning difficulties. And he saw me limping and just walked up, touched my leg and said, "Make David's leg better," and walked on. Oh, yes, the leg was better, by the way. Of course it was. Sometimes God just puts that desire within our heart, that gift of faith. So we know people who work in that ministry. They preach, and then they pray for sick people, and many get healed. I'm not going to go into why some don't get healed. That's not for today. But that's what we have, that gift of faith, that gift of healing, to move on and see people wonderfully healed. That gift of miracles, where people are just gifted in such a way that miracles just happen. And when I say miracles, I don't just mean a little, you know, wasn't that nice? I mean real miracles that could not have happened without God. And some people have that gift. And God just sometimes gives us that gift. Many years ago, someone asked me, they were really tied up about gifts. They said, "What gift have you got?" Now, I know the gift I mainly use. I know what it is. And so I didn't need to worry about that. But sometimes God moves us around, doesn't he? And I said, "I'll tell you what gift I have." They said, "What's that?" I said, "I've got whatever I gift at the time I need it." You say, I was, you know, I might have, you know, the gift of faith. But if I'm on a desert island with someone who's about to die, or I have the gift of knowledge, rather, you know, and we're on the desert island and someone's about to die, I have the gift of knowledge, you're going to die. And that's very helpful, is it? But how about I have the gift of healing at that time? I'm going to pray for you because God has anointed me to pray for you and I'm going to do it. That's much more sensible. And God sometimes moves those gifts around and we move in ways we can't imagine. And God still moves. And we know that it's God moving. A couple of weeks ago in our life group, someone gave a word from God. And you might say, how do I know that's a word from God? It might just be something he was saying. Well, I know this person well. We'll meet in all sorts of places and regulate life group. I know the words that person used weren't his. He doesn't talk like that. His even voice was slightly different. I know that that was God. We just know, don't we? So we have the gift of prophecy where people prophesy over people. Again, 1 Corinthians 12, 2 and 3. You know when you were pagan, some or another, you were influenced and led astray. I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says be accursed. That prophecy will always be from God and you will know that that prophecy is from God. How can you trust it? Well, as I said earlier, the Bible says we're to test the Holy Spirit. Not doubt. There's a difference. Not doubt. But to test the Holy Spirit. Sometimes if I'm out in rain or severe rain or snow or something, you ever test your brake? You're not doubting that your brakes are going to work. You just test them that they haven't got the snow or whatever it may be within. The word prophecy simply means to speak forth. Speaking forth that what God says. And then we get to the distinguishing between spirits or discerning between spirits. Sometimes you just, someone has a gift and they know whether that spirit is from God or not. I was once put in an interesting place. I must wind up quick. I was once in an interesting place. I was preaching in a church I preached at many times before. And then they had evening services in those days. And as I was closing, finishing off in the morning, I just felt that the Spirit say to me, I want you to speak prophetically to this church this evening. It's a thing I've never done before or since. Never done it before or since. And so I went to the leaders of the church and I told them what I felt. I said, do you mind if I do that this evening? No, they said, we know you well enough and we can trust that the Spirit's at work. So I went and I preached and I delivered a message and that was fine. I thought, that's good. What I didn't know is they recorded it. And more than that, they transcribed it. So they wrote down everything that I said was going to happen. Everything was written down there. And as time went on, they started ticking things off. You've got to be careful in prophecy. I'd never done that before, and thankfully God's never asked me to do it since. It's a scary moment. But when God speaks, he speaks truth and right. Then we speak in different types of tongues. You've heard people here speaking in tongues. There are two ways of using tongues, of course. One is just for private worship. I love to speak in tongues. You know, you get to that point, don't you? Lord, I love you. You're wonderful. You're powerful. You're great. You're glorious. You saved me. You blessed me. There must be more. And you can just flow into that gift of tongues and just worship God. And it takes you over. What a wonderful thing it is. But sometimes tongues are used as a message. And when they are in church, there should be an interpreter, which is number 9, interpreting tongues. And so they should all be there. If you speak in tongues publicly, it should be for a purpose, because God is speaking to us. So there needs to be a translation. We need to understand what you've said. We're all used, aren't we, to people speaking different languages. But these tongues are much more than that. There may be a foreign language, it may be totally different. One last illustration before we wind up. There was a man from England, was abroad in a foreign country. They didn't speak English there. And he was living a life that was wrong. And in this service, a lady prayed in her own tongue. I think Spanish or whatever. Just prayed. She prayed in tongues in Spain. And so she prayed in tongues. She didn't know that the tongues she was praying in was English. And in this tongue, she didn't know what she was doing. This man was livid. She said, why? He said, well, you just told everyone my secret. She said, what do you mean? He said, well, you stood up before everyone and told everyone about me. How did you even know? She said, I don't know you, and I don't even know what you're talking about. When you stood up, he said, and told everyone, he said, I wasn't talking about you, I was praying in tongues. He said, yes, but it was English. And she stood up in front and told everyone how this man had been living a life of sin, had walked away from his wife, was having affairs, was doing all this thing publicly. Why? To cause him harm? No, because no one else knew what she was saying either. But to let him know that God knew. Tongues are powerful. So these wonderful gifts of wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment, tongues, interpretation. I want us to be quiet a moment. What gift has God given you? Spiritual gift. There are more than this, and Paul's going to touch on those next week, I know, from Ephesians. But I want you to be open. Let's just be quiet. You may have know what your gift is. Someone here, and you are thinking right now, I know what my gift is. I just don't use it. Don't particularly want to use it. No desire to use it. Perhaps God doesn't want me to use it. That is someone here, maybe more than one, but particularly one person. And that's exactly what you're thinking right now. I don't use it. It's just there. Just like this paperweight. Kind of nice to have, but it's not doing anything. Others of you may say, I don't know what my gift is. I want to seek what that gift is. This morning, let's get real about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Let's really seek them because they're for use in the church to take us on to where God wants us to be. They're not nice things to have. They're not decorations. They're not novelties. They're nothing unusual. They're all there in Scripture. And we need them, every one of them, to be used in this church. We need you to use them.